making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight. I don't want to lose your love tonight.
We got another guy in the studio who's rocking a beard. It's Phil Perry, NBC Sports Boston. Phil Perry is brought to you by Stop and Shop, official supermarket of the New England Patriots. They have everything you need to make your Sunday tailgate or football party a huge success this Sunday. Get details at stopandshop.com.
Your beard looks different from his.
Yeah, mine's got a little more red in there, I think. Hardy's is rugged. That is salt and pepper. It's a little shorter. It looks like you could have just been on like a week-long bender.
Sosie's got a problem with it.
Sosie doesn't like it? Yeah, Sosie likes everything. Sosie's a nice
man. Yeah,
you got a
nice
problem with Sosie.
It's going to be awkward and unprofessional when I kick Sosie's ass in the middle of the game on Sunday.
Yeah.
Like right in the middle of a big half third time. Down call, like right before the half. You know, the Patriots now trying to orchestrate the double score. Yeah, 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 yeah.
You know, he hangs his little pens up in that little pouch right there.
Yeah,
take his pens.
It's
Take the red one.
Take the red one.
It's like the red stapler. It's like taking Milton's red stapler. Where's my pen?
What's the red one for?
I don't know. I just tend to see him marking a lot of things. He does a lot of drive stuff up there on the. There's like a panel to his left where he's always charting things, and he's terrific. He's such a pro. You know, he's got so many things going on there to track everything that's happening in the game. But I always feel when I look over, he's using the red one for some reason. So I feel like that's an important one. Mm. Swipe the red one.
There you go, Hardy. We'll see how professional he sounds when I break him over my knee.
Okay, take his knee.
Hardy's giving him spankings in the middle of a Patriots drive.
I literally turn him upside down and spank his bare ass.
Change out.
Say, hey, everybody, normally you only look up here during Josie. You should see this. Put this on the Jumbotron.
That's just not nice. Love Bob.
I like Bob.
How's the week? Bob.
He's all right.
How's the week down there?
Great week for me. Feels like there's some things happening with some of the important players on this team that's
like
impacting practice time and other things. No Trey Flowers at practice is a head scratcher today.
What if it's illness? Zoe thinks it could be everyone getting sick.
I think it could be illness. It's a tough time to come down with an illness. Your full participation yesterday.
Yeah.
And then if he's limited, at least is what it sounds like he's going to be today.
Patient zero.
I was going to say,
were you near Flowers recently?
It would have been like Zoe banging out today. It's like he had a full participation yesterday. He was on the air. He had an event last night. Today feels like a Trey Flowers, Zolak out kind of day. But Zoe's here. So what does that say
Zoe's
about
in.
Flowers?
Does Flowers do, I think he does some weekly, you know, media stuff near where we were on Tuesday.
It's really good.
Zoe's been sick.
Germs travel far, and they travel fast,
sick. And we think that Zoe could be patient zero, as he often is here at the Sports Hub. Maybe you've infected Trey Flowers.
Just kind of get embedded in the microphone or something?
Yeah, it's nasty.
Trey Flowers.
So, wait a second. Full participation yesterday.
Yes.
And what
we don't know what his participation is going to be today. He could have come out late. Maybe he's dealing with something in the locker room. You come out late. This happens every once in a while. So we'll see. If he's a non-participant because of illness, I would still think he has a chance to play on Sunday. A lot of times that's just getting fluids in
you. Yeah, because he's got 48 hours.
Up and going. Right.
Yeah, he's got time. It's still
Trent Brown was like severely limited in practice before that Titans game, and he still was able to play. He had to miss a little bit of time because he had to go back into the locker room to get an IV at one point.
God.
But he still played.
Phil Perry, we have the news on Rob Gronkowski yesterday that he's been added back to the injury report.
All right.
Were you one of those tweeting about how it was great that he was off the injury report and is Gronk back and all that? You'd fall victim to that?
You know what's funny is he is the one who proclaimed himself healthy following the game on Instagram. I don't know if you guys are tracking the Instagram posts as frequently as we are on the Patriots beat, but that's part of the job now. Monday afternoon, I believe it was, he had a little checklist on his Instagram, touchdown, check, 12 misses me, check, healthy, check, smiley face.
Ooh.
And then you don't see him on the injury report Wednesday, and it's like, okay, well, he kind of just made the announcement himself a couple days ago, so all of a sudden he's off.
Oh, yeah.
He's back on.
There it is. Ready? So, it reads, a big team win on the road, check. Spike, check.
There you go.
Number 11 and number 87 score in the same game. Check. Number 12, miss me? Question mark. Check, 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 within like two smiley faces. Room to improve? Check. Healthy? Check, with some sort of smiling face.
Huh.
Declaring himself. Good call, Phil. This is
so,
what we had
what?
For.
So the
keep track of all the crap we take.
Yeah, be all over the social media stuff for you guys.
Oh, they are, though.
They are.
So then the question becomes, did the team see that and say, oh, good, since we've left it up to you to declare each week whether or not you're playing and whether or not you're healthy, nice to know that you're now healthy, you're off the report. And then he turned around and said, yeah, why am I off the report? I still have these injuries that I'm dealing with.
So as far as I understand it, when it comes to the injury report in general, when somebody's off, and we know why we have the injury reports in the first place, right? This is Vegas related. This is so that everybody around the league, around the world that's gambling on these games knows who might play and who might not. So when you're off, as far as I understand it, team feels really good about your ability to play in that week's game. So good that they don't even feel like they have to give that initial warning. Hey, this guy's dealing with something. He could by week's end be dealing with it to the point that he can't play. That's kind of the idea of the injury report early in the week. So to be back on it would be an indication that he felt something after that practice or during the second practice of the week that would cause him to miss something that would lower his participation rate in practice to less than 100% of what his normal snaps are.
With both the ankle and the back.
They're both on there.
Yes, they are. He must have had a rough practice. Must have really put
so, you know, we spoke to him right after that first practice of the week. He seemed fine, seemed great.
Yeah.
Great mood. We've got old Rob Gronkowski back in terms of his demeanor. So it could have been the next day he wakes up and he says, man, I'm starting to deal with some of this stuff now. Or maybe he starts to feel something in the practice on Thursday that makes him limited.
Let's fast forward to this weekend. These injuries for the Vikings defense. You buying into that? The Patriots are going to have a much easier day now?
Well, I thought the one big one was Diggs. Diggs hasn't practiced this week, unless they've practiced already today. I'm not sure what their schedule is today.
Have, but he has not
practiced. The first two practices, he just missed outright. But then after the second one, he told the world that he is going to play. He's planning on playing. Yeah. So that was the big one.
I expect him to play.
The Xavier Rhodes one, I think, is significant because he would have been, in my opinion, the Josh Gordon matchup. He's the big, long, physical corner that would have matched up well with that guy.
He looked like he hurt that pretty good.
I would find it really surprising if he ends up playing. Mike Zimmer is notorious for...
He downplays everything, right?
Well, he downplays absolutely everything. So, it's totally mild. He definitely has a chance to play this week, and then later in the week, he's not
playing. What do you call it? Very mild? Very, very, very mild?
I don't know.
Very.
Can't really trust anything he says.
Very much so.
I do think that's significant. I still think this is going to be one of the toughest tests for the Patriots offense this year. Just because of everything they do defensively, first and foremost, what they do against the run. And we saw what the Patriots needed in terms of that running game against the Jets and how it opened up the passing game. That's why you need a running game in this day and age. It's 2018. It's all about the passing game. So it's not running just to rack up numbers with your running backs. It's run so you can throw. They needed that last week. They needed that play action game. Over 120 yards via play action. This week, you're the Vikings. You have the number three rush defense in the league. It's harder to run. It's harder to open up that play-action passing game. It's harder to open up the passing game in general. I think the Patriots are going to have a tough time.
Phil Perry is with us. We've got a lot to get to here in this hour with Phil, 617-779-0985. Tom Brady spoke with Jim Gray last night on Westwood One for Thursday Night Football. We know that he does it on Monday. He also did Thursday this week talking to Jim Gray, and the topic of his helmet came up. And Brady may be looking for a league rule change as it relates to his helmet, that is. We'll get to that coming up next. I apologize. Of course, this feels like the old Sports Minute days. No, this is way better than that. This is the Action Update, and the Action Update is brought to you by the all-new Sportsbook Rhode Island at Twin River and Tiverton Casino Hotels, the only places in New England you can legally bet on sports, all powered by William Hill. Get details right now at sportsbookri.com.
Now a look at the numbers with the Action Update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Brent Musburger's Action Update for 98.5 The Sports Hub. Blink motion-activated security cameras are now on sale with huge savings. Visit blinkprotect.com/holiday. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
10 games over the next 2 days will determine football champions in the Power 5 and the Group of 5. Number 11 Washington is favored by 5.5 to beat 17th-ranked Utah in the Pac-12 title game. Northern Illinois is a 3.5-point underdog facing Buffalo for the MAC championship. As for tomorrow's games with playoff implications, Alabama is favored by 13.5 over Georgia. Clemson, 27.5 against Pitt. Oklahoma, 8 over Texas. And Ohio State, 14.5 versus Northwestern. For the latest odds all the time, visit vsin.com. I'm Ron Flatter. This has been your Action Update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks, rub your ball 16 times.
Yep. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Tom, limited in practice yesterday. How did you practice today, and how is your knee?
I'm doing good. You know, every NFL player deals with some bumps and bruises at this time of year. We've been at football for quite a long time, but I'm feeling really good. I'm really excited about this weekend. We got a big game against the Vikings. They're a really good football team on both sides of the ball, and it's a huge game for us. So we got to have our best game. We got to have our best week of practice, and we're off to a good start.
Does the knee inhibit you and impair you from doing what you need to do to prepare for a game like this, and can it impair you in the game?
I certainly hope not. It's one thing to say yes and another thing to say no. But, you know, in my view, you know, I feel really good and I feel really excited for the game. So hopefully I can go out there and be the best I could be.
Tom Brady with Jim Gray last night talking about his knee, says he feels good. This hour of Zolak and Bertrand is brought to you by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. They have everything you need to make your Sunday tailgate or football party a huge success this Sunday. Get details at stopandshop.com.
Yes, they do. What are you looking at me for?
What are you two saying?
Because you're doing like a weird point.
I'm like, what's happening?
What? What are you? I thought you were pointing at somebody out there.
Like, what happened? So I know you guys are totally used to this. You're like zoo animals. Don't even see the people that walk around out there anymore. I'm not as used to it. So if I see somebody I know, I might say hi to him or I might point at him.
Who was it?
It was Jimmy Stewart. Oh, I like Jimmy.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Freak you guys out.
Now I see him over there.
God.
Hey, Jimmy.
Stop, Jay.
But you're used to being on TV.
Yeah, like, but I'm not. I'm never in here. I'm in here once a week for an hour.
Never mind. You're used
never
to,
relative.
You're
to you
used yet. To things going on in the background yeah. while you're on camera. And
I'm
you understand
completely
that,
locked in.
Yeah, you weren't
I'm
recurring.
Completely focused. You think as I waved at somebody, I'm out of the show. I'm removed. I'm back. I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Perry.
So-see.
All right, Phil Perry. Let's get a quick news update on something before we get to the next clip with Brady and Jim Gray. That is, you've got Rhodes and Diggs both practicing in Minnesota today. They're both out there on the field.
Gamesmanship.
There you go. I don't know about Rhodes. It felt like on the replay. I'm not a doctor, and I think who's the doctor on Twitter?
NFL injury doc?
Doc Flynn.
Dr. Chow.
Dr. Leslie Chow.
Dr. Chow, I think.
I don't think it's Leslie Chow.
Hello there, fat boy. Come here, Alan. Give me
how
a smooch.
It's David Chow, but how have we not done that before? So,
what?
How have you held that one back for this long?
A little quid pro quo. Look at the little guy in the trunk. Whose boots are these? Size 6.
So I think
his character is so good.
That's a great movie character.
He's one of my favorite characters in it.
Ooh, that looks like an ACL. Toodaloo. Toodaloo, 2018 season.
Dr. David
so,
Chow.
Yes. So Dr. Chow, it's a good follow on Twitter. I think he speculates. He always says this. I don't know.
Right.
I hope it's not this, but it looked like, I think in that instance, he thought it looked like a ruptured hamstring because you could see the thing vibrate on TV.
Oh, it looked bad. It looked bad. Yeah, and the way he pulls out, he's like, oh, my
So who God. Knows? We'll see. Could be gamesmanship. We'll see. But this,
that's
I think even if, they don't,
there,
even if they don't have Rhodes, Holton Hill, I think, would be the guy who replaces him, who's a pretty talented talented corner. Another big guy. They're really deep at corner. Zimmer's a defensive backs guy. He's a defensive back coach.
Yeah.
I remember going down to UConn to watch Byron Jones's pro day a few years ago. He ran the whole thing because he's big time into DB technique. So anyway, they've loaded up
you
on DBs.
You drove down to UConn to watch a pro day.
I did. Part of the deal that time
doing
of year.
Doing draft coverage, huh?
Yeah, draft coverage is big. People love it. So anyway, they're pretty deep there regardless. I don't think Xavier Rhodes makes or breaks it for them, but if he plays, it just makes it that much more difficult for the Patriots.
Okay, here's Brady last night. His knee feels good. He's excited about this weekend.
Interesting,
game.
Though, they you know, I'm talking about he prefaces. He gets these questions, I guarantee you, ahead of time. What are we going to talk about, Jim? Ask two about the knee. It's two questions about the knee.
One about how he's feeling, and the other one, does it inhibit you to prepare?
In case you don't, yeah.
After he asked two questions Monday night, so it's been four questions since the last game.
That was a very detailed, direct question. Have you been limited meeting? How much practice?
Ready to go to answer it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ready to answer.
Quick, like that.
Knew exactly what he wanted to say there. Okay, maybe. Here he is talking about the helmet. We went back to the old helmet, the VSR-4.
I noticed that right away when he ran out of the thing. I said, wow, he got rid of the Kazoo helmet again.
And you talked earlier in the season, Zoe, about how it could be a home road thing. And how on the road, the communication device inside the helmet probably is further away inside the bigger, newer helmets.
Interesting.
And they may not have gotten the sound right, and it may be difficult to communicate directly with him on the road in the new helmet. He's not used to that.
Right.
And it was sort of this home road pattern it was taking early in the year.
Is that true? Do we know that about the new helmet versus the old one?
Well, he talks about
where the speakers are?
Inside sources.
It's just, it looks a little different. You know, just
Oh, no, I know it does. I didn't know if the communication piece was a little bit different.
So
the different helmets.
Like,
but that would make sense.
All the patterns.
The big thought was, the vision. It's the vision. It's got to be the vision. And it may not be the vision. It may be something else related to the helmet. But it certainly feels different.
I just think
if you've ever looked at the old helmets and looked at the new ones they're wearing, they're completely different on the inside. They're not even close to being the same thing.
Do we know why Brady's allowed two helmets when you can't use throwbacks because you can't change helmets?
That's a good question, too. I have never even thought of that.
Because if you can't use the, if they can't use the white the white helmet, then...
Well, I believe his helmet has been grandfathered in to some extent, the old helmet.
No, it is.
His question back is, why are you allowed to go back?
But that might be why. I think that might be why.
Right.
Because he has used the old one. They allow him to use that one. Yes. I think so.
According to the NFL's
doctrine
stuff that they put out when this went out, it said the rule is not designed to eliminate helmet changes. It's designed to minimize helmet changes by prohibiting teams from changing to an entire new set of helmets in one shot. Hmm. So they acknowledge that, hey, a guy might switch helmets mid-year, but what we're not going to do is bring out, 53 or, not 53, but we're bringing out the number. Every active player is going to have a brand new helmet on one day. They want to eliminate that. They think that's a risk. So I guess this is not actually prohibited. Good question, though, Jim. Here he is on going forward, what he's going to do with his helmet situation.
Tom, you've gone back to wearing your old helmet, the one that you've worn all of these years. New helmet regulations have gone into effect. They take permanent effect next year. Will you just stick with the old helmet and then try and deal with it when you have to?
Yeah, I've gone back and forth quite a bit. The old one has just treated me so well over the years. So hopefully I can get it grandfathered in. That's what I'm going to try to do this off season and see if I can keep playing with it. I love the way it fits. I love the way it feels. It's been a great helmet for me. So I just been thinking about it and think that's one works the best for me as we continue on this season.
Interesting. Interesting.
Can't wait to see that conversation at the league office.
How about that, though? Like next year in the off season. Yeah, you think he's anybody think he's retiring? Anybody think he's walking away?
Exactly. That is the key.
That was an intended. I put it out there. We're 8-3. We're rolling. Talking about my helmet, the off season, and Tom next year. He's talking about being
already thinking about next year, the helmet for next year, and how he's going to have conversations with the league office somehow to get a rule change.
Let's say it wasn't even planned. So let's say it wasn't even planned. He just gave you an honest answer right away. Well, I got to go to the league office. I'm worried about next year.
I'm already
with my helmet because.
It's been so good to me.
Never even crossed his mind that he's not playing next year.
Right.
Either way, he either wanted it out there or he gave you an honest answer. And either way, it's a good thing that his status for next year in his mind is he's playing.
Getting ahead of it now. Let's start putting a bug in her ear.
That's huge. That's huge.
Brady said the 45. You put it on Instagram and then, months later, or a month later or so, whatever it was, he followed it up and said it in his own words, 45. And yet we all still sit there and go, but really, 45?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, Tom.
Well, and this is an in-season update. Right, those are off-season updates. Yeah. 45, 40.
He could have answered that so different. You know what, Jim? We'll get to that when we get to that. I think it's stuff for me to think about in the off-season. I'm just focused on this week and this year right now.
Right.
You know, that is, yeah, we're getting into next year. Yeah, I'm gonna want to work on that. Sure.
He's telling me
I've already got planned.
Yeah. So how do you think he would go about that? You know, just to take a trip down a Park Ave.
And shoot Roger an email.
Walk into the lobby and say, what? Can you tell me what floor Roger Goodell is on?
Where's the
is it one of those
helmet
deals?
Rule office?
Yeah, yeah. Who do I talk to?
Call Troy Vincent. Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to try to do this offseason and see if.
Right there. Bam.
There you go. And again, it's just the latest update, so I think that's key. It's important to have because he's beat up. We know that.
Maybe him and Giselle can make a weekend.
It's at least one knee. It might be two, given the camera angle we saw from CBS.
Yeah.
Last week on the sidelines, looked like he had a huge bruise on his right knee, dealing with a little scrape on his finger, but he's taken tons of shots this year. Midseason, he's already thinking about next year.
If in football,
mind hasn't changed.
If in football injuries speak, if you have an injured knee, you'd say he's got a knee that he's dealing with. What if it's both knees? How would you phrase it?
He's got knees.
He got knees.
He's got knees.
He's got knees.
Yeah.
Got a couple of knees?
Oh, there it is. We got it up on the simulcast right now.
Now you see it.
Yeah. So I think that's the big thing there. Okay, the helmet piece is nice, but it's what do you read into that comment? He's already thinking about next year.
Well, it could be
planning on next year.
It could be gamesmanship for him, saying he feels great, right? And he may just be banged up like everybody else is banged up, but he plays through everything. That's who he's been his entire career. This isn't going to keep him out.
Take the needle.
Sure. If it requires
and as calculated
that.
As he is, I know, you know, I've heard you say this all the time, and I think it is true to a certain extent. He is pretty calculated in terms of how he's going to answer certain questions, I think specifically in that setting with Jim Gray. Yeah. I think there are times where he gets caught off guard in press conferences, and that's definitely happened in the past, and he hasn't had an answer
hesitate,
ready to go.
Right. Yeah.
So, I don't know, you can read into that what you will. Maybe it was planned just to make it seem like he's feeling better than he actually is, but that felt like an honest sort of off-the-cuff
Well, there's been talk of it. Is Bill going to walk away? Is Tom going to walk away? Maybe it could be at the end of this year. Maybe he hears that, and he's like, I can put an end to this right now.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Zoe and Bertrand.
Minnesota. All for the Vikings.
Phil, you know who sings this?
No idea.
Who would you, do you think this is a very good musician that sings this? You have no clue who sings this.
Don't tell him, because then we'll play another song from the artist.
Yeah.
And we'll get Phil's actual reaction to now knowing that purple and gold thing.
The embarrassment of what it is.
The purple is a big hint.
That's Prince?
Sorry.
I mean, that's the only Minnesota musician I know. So, it could have been
bingo.
It's Prince or Bob Dylan, right? Bob Dylan's a Minnesota guy, I believe.
And very much into purple.
So it could have been Dylan.
It's over now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That was Prince?
I know it was a well thought out bit.
It was. Like, he'd be like, what?
That's honestly, it's the only guess I would have had. So I would have got it right.
Yeah, you would have. You would have known this was Prince. And then you would,
if you had forced me to guess on that last song and you said it had to do with Minnesota, my guess would have been Prince because he's the only musician from Minnesota other than Bob Dylan that I know. Mm.
And that's what he turned out.
What about the time? Could have been Morris Day.
Is he from Minnesota?
Yeah, they're all like that. Minneapolis.
You ever watch Purple Rain?
Amy Apollonia Kateras from there, too?
Who?
Oh, he's messing
Apollonia.
He's messing with us.
No, I'm serious. They're all from Minnesota. I didn't know that.
I don't know if she's from there.
I didn't know, but like, most
the they all have the Minnesota connection.
Cool. Stupid-ass helmet. I don't like their matte finish of their helmet.
You don't like it?
I don't.
Oh,
I
the matte thing sucks. I hate that.
I like the shiny stuff.
Yeah, I do, too. I think the teams that have gone to matte are making a mistake. Yeah. Players love it, though. Players love the matte helmets.
I don't know why.
I don't know. It's been a trend the last 10 years or so, right?
You think it looks cool?
No, they do.
Oh, yeah.
It's like you get like a matte finish on your car.
I love it.
Oh, right?
Awful. That's I like think the, that looks like the, awful, too.
Right, I do,
you
too.
But Brandon that's Spikes it's
kind of trendy.
It's awful.
Yeah, it's trendy. No, it looks, because it's different, right, but
it looks good on really high-end cars. Like, if you try and do a matte finish, you know, on,
you
a,
ruin the car.
On an 83 Chevy Cavalier, well, you just didn't finish painting it. But when you see
you think
matte,
it legitimately looks good on high-end cars?
Oh, when you see a matte finish, like, on a high-end BMW.
Yeah, or a high-end Mercedes.
Oh,
as a,
yeah. That's badass.
Oh, I say double thumbs down to you, pal.
No. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, no, I want the shiny finish, the gloss, you know.
One of our neighbors has one of those souped up Audis with the big rims, and it's a matte finish, and not good.
No. No, it is good.
You can pay that much for a car, I want to pop.
Did you go over and let them know this?
No.
Give them a piece of your mind?
Just shut it down.
Maybe they know already, yeah.
Now they know. No. Now they know. So those neighbors like, hey, he doesn't like my car?
Yeah.
What?
Driving around in that thing right now.
Bill Perry is with us here on Zolak and Bertrand, this hour of Zolak and Bertrand. And I should say, Phil Perry is brought to you by Stop and Shop, official supermarket of the New England Patriots. They have everything you need to make your Sunday tailgate or football party a huge success this Sunday. Get the details at stopandshop.com. Sam is in the car today. He's up next on Zolak and Bertrand. Sam.
How you guys doing today?
What's up, Sam?
All right, so can we all agree that the suspension of Brady a couple years ago was just a ludicrous? It was not needed. He could have been fined, and it would have just ended it. But the fact that he was suspended 4 games was ridiculous.
Yes.
Can we all agree?
Yeah, always.
Okay. So I love the Patriots, but it makes me hate the NFL even more every time I hear of a domestic abuse of violence offender or anything like this where they can still play the game. You could literally put your hands on somebody and still play the game, and yet they will suspend, you know, I'm going to use Brady because he's the one on my mind. They'll suspend him for 4 games for a football infraction. The way the NFL does their punishments is backwards, and it makes me hate them every day. It makes me glad to be a Patriots fan because I would hate the NFL if I wasn't, even more. I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay, here's my problem with that argument. And, Sam, I understand what you're talking about, though, because I agree with the general,
they've been incredibly inconsistent.
I agree with his general assessment that they're all over the place and that they don't come down hard enough on guys like Reuben Foster.
Yeah.
Yes, agreed. But that's sort of independent for me of what Brady got. Like, Brady's suspension was wrong. It should not have been that. I think that entire, you know, first of all, I think they did it, but I don't think it was deserving of a suspension the way it all went down. Like, I think the punishment was absurd.
You're saying one is sport-related, game-related, and the other is off the field, law?
But there are things related to in the game that I would say, oh, ban that guy for, you know, a year. What if you got a guy who was gambling on games or something, right? Then, get out of my league, right? I mean, there are things in your sport that are worthy of suspension. If you were targeting guys and you were rewarding players for knockout shots like the Saints were.
Yeah.
That's still worthy of being suspended. Sure. That's a suspendable offense.
Yep. That's different. You're trying to maim somebody.
Yeah, I just think that's just to prove the point. There are things in game that are worthy of suspensions.
Here's the
definitely.
If you somehow get into a altercation with an official on the field, if you know, go after an official and you are violent on the field with an official, that would be worthy of a suspension.
Or a coach, or start a fight. Leonard Fournette is suspended a game.
But the other thing is, don't use a bad system and a real weakness of the NFL in going soft on domestic violence guys as the evidence of, like, yeah, Brady should get less.
So they're two separate issues.
They're two very different issues.
But here's where
your argument should be, if Brady got 4 for doctoring footballs, Reuben Foster should get a year.
You know what, though? Overarching thing that kind of does tie those two things together is when you're a league that likes to step to the podium and talk about the integrity of the game and protecting the shield, that goes for on-field, it goes for off-field. That's the implication, at least, when you hear league people say those sorts of things. And so when you act one way with rules infractions, minor rules infractions, alleged minor rules infractions on the field, and you don't hold yourself to a similar standard to what guys are doing off the field, then there are going to be fans like Sam who have issues with that. And I totally get it. I totally understand that. I see what you're saying. They are separate things.
I agree on the inconsistency. That part is true, and it deserves to be called out. But I just hate using this guy didn't get punished for, you know, beating up a girlfriend or beating up a wife. Why should Brady get? Well, wait a minute. That guy should get punished. And you can make the argument that Brady was, you know, was over punished without having to talk about anything else
Other
than the case itself.
That's just the prism that Patriots fans are going to look through at all times when it comes to the league and how they handle
it. You don't need it. You don't need it.
I mean, I played
bad enough to begin with.
I played where you end up going to an away game and there's authorities there waiting for a guy because he's late on child support payments. But your job as a team is to get that guy up there as fast as you can and get this situation resolved because we got to get the guy on the field. See, there's the NFL real football part of it is, and you're looking at it from the Redskins, can we get a guy here because he's talented and he can help our team and it's not going to cost us much and we'll take a chance on him. That's always going to be that mindset of that football club. And it's easy to sit here and say, yeah, that guy's an a-hole. He should be out of the league.
Final.
You sit here and do this, but I played some bad guys in this league. It goes on all day, every day. It's going to be there.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
This helps my emotions.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This hour of Zolak and Bertrand brought to you by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. They have everything you need to make your Sunday tailgate or football party a huge success this Sunday. Get details at stopandshop.com.
Let's go, Pats!
What's the line currently at for the game, Jim? I'm sorry to put you on the spot there and ask you that. I know you're good at keeping track of that.
It was 5.5 earlier this morning.
All right, so at 5.5, Phil Perry, how would you pick a game like this one?
Here's the thing. I think the Patriots have a difficult matchup on their hands on both sides of the ball. We talked about the defense a little bit in terms of the running game and how they snuff things out and how it might be tough for the Patriots to open things up in the pass. On the other side, Adam Thielen in the slot. Patriots defense against slot receivers has not been good this year. Jonathan Jones has been your primary guy in there.
He's been really good.
He has been one of the most targeted slot corners in football. He is giving up on average in terms of coverage yards per snap.
Yeah.
He's giving up the most in the league. It's a pro football focus stat. It's actually yards per coverage snap.
When are we getting Duke Dawson out there?
I think Duke Dawson has a chance to be an impactful player on this team. I just don't know if you want to roll him out against the best slot receiver in football and maybe the best receiver period in football.
Welcome to the NFL, kid. Here you go.
It just doesn't feel like a great matchup for me. The reason why I hesitate to pick the Vikings and the points here is because the Patriots have been so damn good in December under Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
At home.
Do you know they at home specifically? They have lost 4 games at home in December since Brady's been the starter.
That's amazing.
And one of those, they didn't really even try. That was the game in 2014 where they had the number one seed locked up and Jimmy Garoppolo played against the Bills and they lost to the Bills. So 3 home losses in the month of December in the last 17 years. That's unbelievable. I can't pick against the Patriots.
For that reason, I cannot pick against them. I think they'll win the game because they're just a different team at home.
There's something about
Kirk
Cousins,
they're so much better at home.
I don't know. I like Cousins. I think he's good. I know he's good. And
the offense, though, Zoe, you're right to hesitate. Their offense has been up and down because he has killed them at times. He has been great at times. They can't run the ball. That is an issue for them.
Like, he could throw for 400 in this game, 3 scores, and they lose.
If you take Dalvin Cook's 70-yard run, which I believe was 2 weeks ago, off the board, which I kind of hate when people do that, but we're going to do that for the purpose of this exercise because it makes my point. 2.1 yards per carry is what the Vikings are averaging if you take that off the board. 2.1 yards per carry in the last handful of weeks since Dalvin Cook, since he's been back. He's been dealing with a hamstring injury, but since he's been back, that is terrible. He's an explosive player. I think he's got a chance to hurt them really in the passing game this week. Running the football, they can't do it. The offensive line is one of the worst offensive lines in the league. So pass protection has been an issue. It's part of the reason Cousins has been up and down is because he's under pressure so often. He's been under pressure for 40% of his dropbacks. 2 out of every 5 times he drops back, he has somebody in his face or hitting him or sacking him. That's a huge number.
So in reverse, you sort of go to the Patriots and their emphasis on running the football, something that the Vikings have been very good at stopping.
Yes.
And I know you mentioned this earlier, but that is something that the Vikings have not established, apparently.
Not offensively. Now, defensively, it's an issue. And I think the Patriots want to do it because they like what it says about themselves when they can run the football. We said this on this show here before. I know I have, because we hear it all the time from guys there, whether it's retired players, current players, coaches, whatever. Toughness is running the football, stopping the run, and covering kicks. The Patriots really had a hard time doing all 3 of those things and stretches for this season.
Those are all nice things, but those are also not the things that now can win you games like it used to be. Now
you're
it's about
right.
having a toughness. Now it's a part of your game.
But you know who?
20 years ago, it was run the ball, stop the run, and you'll win the game. Like, nah, not but anymore.
You know who still believes in it? Bill Belichick.
No, I yes, see. I don't
hey,
think.
Nat.
Not to that degree.
Go to the
not
video.
To that degree
go
to
post-game,
post-game.
Beedle, go to the post-game videos. Those all over it. We're on the same wavelength here. Go to the post-game video, what they did after the Jets. The first thing he says to him, did a hell of a job running the ball. We stopped the run. We covered kicks. That makes them a tough team because when you get into December and January, you have to play in the cold. You're
right,
still the Patriots.
Not,
this is still a physical
that's
game.
That's how you win. Like, that's the only way to do it.
Yeah, but they're amping that up.
You know
you're
how
getting Burkhead.
It's not the only
you
way
know,
to do it.
No, but you know his importance on not giving up big passing plays, right?
Sure.
They will give up yardage. They don't want to give up big plays. They certainly don't want any of those 100%
home runs. Agree.
So there is an emphasis on how
well,
you can't
you can't
on
just be one or the other.
Right, you can't. Not
now. Remember 2015?
No, but there's some.
Remember 2015
okay,
in Miami?
So, yeah, it was 2015 with Steven Jackson.
Yes.
To get
fun.
Things on
yes.
tape. And so Zoe and I spent some time earlier this week saying,
why did they do that?
This is 2015, but they're actually doing it, and they're
health.
Doing it earlier, and they're doing it with better backs than what they had then.
Well, that was a health thing, but it was also a, we're this late in the season. What are we?
Yep.
Are we a tough
no
team
identity.
Or not?
No identity.
Can we run the ball for a first down? Can we run it for two first downs? What'd they do this past week at MetLife? They ran it three times in a row in their first drive of the game. When's the last time they did that? I honestly don't know.
You even go back to their win streak,
I
too.
Really, you could tell me it was 4 weeks ago. Somebody could look it up and say, Phil, it was a month
How about,
ago.
Go back to Michelle
but
going
I,
down
I
in Chicago.
I don't remember a time when they've done that.
Yeah. Go back to Michelle going down in Chicago. What's that?
Oh, no. Jim just mentioned something, but we'd already talked about it. Yeah, I'm with you. It's like 2015, but they're doing it right this time.
They want to
they're
be able to
right.
establish that because there is a psychological.
They're not doing it at the end of December.
Yes.
They're doing it in November,
right.
into December.
Yeah, but they
right.
were heading. They were heading there into the Chicago game. They chalked up three in a row where Sony went over 100 yards and they were racking up wins and they were starting to get that running game going and it took a backseat.
And you do it because A, it protects your quarterback.
Yes.
You do it to open up the passing game. I'm with you, Beetle. But that toughness helps you open up the passing game, which is what wins you games. Protect your quarterback.
Okay, yeah. That's fair.
It helps your receivers create separation. Your passing game, which has had a hard time creating separation, we're seeing Chris Hogan run through the middle of the field with nobody within 20 yards of the guy because they were able to get the running game going
no
a little bit.
No team is passing to run anymore.
Running to pass, you mean?
No, I'm saying the other way around. It's not like someone says,
yes.
You know what I mean? That doesn't happen anymore.
Not really. Bill mentioned it actually in the post-game press conference the other day. You know, some of those runs look like passes. The passes look like runs. Can actually open up if you start out with
the
play
the short
action.
Stuff, it's an extension.
Maybe they don't respect the run game if they get hit with a play action pass, and then you've got them all mixed up.
Well, it's how the line fires out too. I mean, you could hide what you're attempting to do and make it look like a pass set, but really it's a run. I mean, there's ways you can okie doke.
I have fallen into though. You know, this is 2018. It's the NFL. The passing game is still what matters, but there is a psychological component. Talking to some guys, David Andrews in particular, this week in the locker room, there's a psychological component to this game. It's still a physical game in their mind. They know that the Vikings are a great run defense. They still want to just run the ball because it says to them that they're tougher than the other team. And there's a psychological component to that because when you can't do it, then you feel like you're beaten. And then you're fighting uphill the entire game. And it's tough to try to execute what you want to execute when you feel that way about yourself, when you know you're getting beat up, when you know you're not the tougher
team. This week, it's not the Jets. It's the Vikings and a good run defense. Do they shy away from it, or do they take it to them?
I think they're going to try. They're going to try.
They're going to run
it's going to be
throat.
An interesting part of this game.
But you can't.
How do the Patriots deal with that? Do they say, hey, we need to win the games. We got to make sure we're winning out. We got to do whatever it takes to win. Or do they say, you know what? Not only are we going to win, we're going to take it right to you and prove the things that we want to prove.
Your two guards are playing extremely
well. It sounds so silly to me. It sounds like Harry High School at times. It really does. But this
matters.
It matters to the players. It matters to the coaches.
No, but it will matter down the road, too,
and it
in
matters,
the playoffs,
right.
too,
yes.
in terms of are you willing to run against teams that are good at stopping the run? Are you willing to do, you know, you dictate how the game will be played instead of letting the other team dictate how the game's played?
But you can't slam your head up against the wall.
You've got to impose your will in December
There's
and January, Phil.
My, that is
impose
a tasty burger.
Your will. All right. Enjoy the football fix tonight.
See
I will not
Phil.
Be a part of it.
Beetle will not be there. We'll miss you, but it'll be a good time.
Who's going to do the picks for him?
I sent one in. They asked me for
I don't
one.
Know. We'll figure that out.
I sent one
Giles
in.
Is going to be there and with us. And, I'm sure we'll have a third. I'm not sure who that is yet. I haven't looked at my emails.
Somebody.
That's good prep,
Somebody.
Phil.
Nice. All right, Phil. We'll look forward to that.
Not a whole lot of prep in that
at
show.
At 6 o'clock.
So, if you've watched. But it's entertaining. It's fun.
Yeah.
We have a good time.
Appreciate your time.
Okay, thanks, boys.
See all
you,
right,
Phil.
Phil Perry, NBC Sports Boston. And you can find him and read all his good stuff there at NBCSportsBoston.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.